Father, we thank you that we can come with boldness, Lord, that as we come into your presence, Lord, as we yield to you this evening, Lord, that you love us so much, God, that you do not leave us the way we are, God, that you accept us the way we are, Lord, and you receive us the way we are, but you don't leave us that way, God. And this evening we want to submit to your will and to your purpose. We submit to your word this evening, Lord. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are our teacher. And we thank you, God, that that you come and direct us, Lord, and you mold us and you shape us to be more like Christ. God, in this afternoon, Lord, as we just commit to you, Father, we thank you for just a new boldness in us, Lord, to receive your word, God. I thank you for good ground in our hearts tonight, Lord. I thank you for the incorruptible seed of your word to come and bear good fruit in our lives, God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We've had a busy week in our... Well, 2 weeks now with the guys from Stellenbosch for HQ, we call it, to be here with us. It's been it was a great time to have them here. If you missed some of the services, we're going to put the sermons on the web hopefully this week, that you can listen to them. But such an encouraging time for myself personally. It's just a time of refreshing vision, getting just to strategize together. So it was really, I must say, just a great blessing to have them here. It's a pity Aaron and I wasn't here, but on the other side, we pushed the hours, we worked late into the night, and spent lots of time discussing things, and so it was really a great time. And, as we're discussing things, and we had quite a lot of meetings with the different congregations and the leaders of the different congregations, and it was interesting to see what God was doing. And what I did pick up, and some of you might experience the same, is that some of us are experiencing frustrations on different levels, and myself personally as well, frustrations, different things going on. And we picked up that a lot of people are experiencing stuff like that, not only with church things, but in all different kinds of things. And for some of us, it's almost like a wrestling going on. And I think some of us are almost like being pregnant or something. I don't really know what that's like, but I did observe. I'm just going to switch this off. Sorry. It's like buzzing here somewhere. Anyways, although I didn't experience that myself, I did observe my wife going through this process. And some of you will have observed the same, and some of the ladies have experienced that, but are busy. But for instance, you know, there's a lot of discomfort around the pregnancy. Obviously, some parts of the whole process are more pleasant than others. But for my wife, Arna, she's not a very big person, as you know. She did carry quite a big baby. And Abigail did take her time, so she was a bit late. So she was 4.4 kilograms when she arrived. And I just could observe that discomfort and that kind of, especially the last few weeks, it was quite tough. No fear, guys, you're going to do well. in the same time, I think we're experiencing something similar in the spirit at this stage. And some of you might not know what it is. You know, you're experiencing a bit of a wrestling and a bit of a frustration. And I believe God is allowing us to be frustrated with certain things, and allowing us to wrestle with things for a specific reason. And for some of us, it might be around work, or some of us might be about making decisions going forward. For some of us, it might be around finance or relationship. I think it can be different for everybody. But I believe God is allowing us to experience these frustrations for a specific reason. Sorry, guys, this thing is giving a lot of feedback. Are you okay, Ross? I'm just going to put this one down a little. Okay. Still hear me? Okay, cool. It's quite an interesting season, but I believe these frustrations are there for us to... It's the only way God gets us our attention. And he gets us to pay attention to what he's saying. And I believe God wants to, us as individuals, but also us as a family in Christ, to get back onto the page that he wants us to be on. What's been exciting for me in this past week or two and a half weeks was just to reconnect with the heart of God about where he's taking us as a family, as a body in Christ. And especially one of the things that has come up, but I just realized that even since arriving in the UK, we've been here for 2 years and, 5 months. And it's been an amazing time. But since arriving, I realized the other day that I've been dealing with a lot of things that have, from past seasons, whether it be, arriving here, kind of coming into a specific role and dealing with stuff from past season, having to sort that out. And it's as if we were like kind of distracted by a lot of things from behind, and things of how were things then and how are things now, etc. And for myself personally, I realized I haven't really come to a place of saying, okay, Lord, but from where we are now, where are you wanting to take us from here? And it was just so refreshing to seek God around that, and just really a great blessing. And so what I'm wanting to share with us this evening is it's got to do with that, and in terms of just that expectation and that kind of frustration we're experiencing. Romans 8 verse 19 and 22 speaks of a similar thing that creation is experiencing, and verse 19 says there, for the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For we know the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And we see this groaning going on. It's like this, almost like it says, like in pains of childbirth. It's this expectation of something that's coming, and a longing. Another translation says it's expectation of the manifestation of the sons of God. And I believe that's kind of what we're experiencing, and God is allowing us to experience this frustration. And in that same scripture there, it also refers to the believers also experiencing these kind of birthing pains, if you want to call it, being pregnant with something, not knowing what it is, being expectant of something. And I believe it's a season for us as a body and as a family to... it's almost like a coming of age, if you want to call it that. For us as a congregation as well, there's a few seasons that have gone, and it's almost as if the Lord wants to bring us to coming of age. And if you're thinking around a normal family, a physical family, I think it's similar to that. I grew up with my father being very practical around the house. And even before I could really help him with gardening and stuff, my mom had us help with cleaning up the house, etc. Even when we were very little, you start with little things. Like when we were very little, if we had fun and, we built things in the house and used the furniture and built tents and, forts and whatever, you guys know what I'm talking about. And we had like an open plan house, and it was amazing what we could, how badly we could wreck the place within just a few hours. But at the end of the day, there was always a time where it's tidy up time. And then my mom would kind of, okay guys, this is it now. And all of us just pitched in, even when we were very small. And that was like the beginning of the thing of, okay, I've got a role to play in this household. And obviously, from washing the dishes to mowing the lawn, different things, you get more responsibility later on. Pets get involved, then it's a bigger responsibility because now there's a life on the line. Some poor little doggy is not gonna eat if you don't feed it, type of thing. But so that as we grow in maturity, we grow in the responsibility that we receive. But what I experience is really, especially with my father, you know, when we had to build like shells for my mom or whatever, there was always something happening. And my dad loved to do this stuff on his, you know, himself. And I was always, will always be helping him. And I remember those times were such, really such great times, bonding with my dad and just doing what needs to be done, and being, you know, being a part of what the family is all about. And I think that's a place where, a place of maturity God wants to bring us to as a congregation, a place where we grow in our role in the family. If we are a spiritual family, and we as a congregation are part of the greater body of Christ, I believe this is a season of us coming to a coming of age in terms of saying yes to the responsibility that, that God has for us. So it's a bit daunting on the one hand, but it's very exciting on the other hand. But I think, you know, if we don't get there, that's why I believe we need to make a shift. We miss out on that time with the Father, like I experienced with my dad, that time where we would just kind of get stuck in and do what needed to be done with it. We, you know, it wasn't like I would say to my dad at 5, Dad, you know, it's knock-off time now. I want to go play, or I want to go watch TV or something. It was just, you know, we'd take a break for supper or something, and then we'd carry on till late at night and we'd finish whatever needs to be done. And that's what it's like in a family, you know. It's kind of, because it's part of who you are, you know, it's for the family, it's a family thing. There's no such thing as, you know, my time and your time. It's the family. And I believe that's something that God wants us to experience. When we lock into His heart and we lock into what's on His heart and what's His desire and what His will is for us. So in terms of, we see that even in the life of Christ, having to firstly get to grips with what the will of God is, what is His desire and His purpose is, but then also coming to that point of obedience and of obeying what and kind of walking in obedience to what the God, what the Father was communicating to him. And we see that in Hebrews chapter 5 from verse 8, and though he was a son, this is Jesus, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. So even Christ, as the Son of God, had to go through this process, had to learn obedience, had to suffer certain things, had to go through certain experiences, and to grow in that place of obedience, which is amazing to think about. But I believe that's kind of where God is taking us, to a place where we grow in our maturity beyond the place. You know, when little children really are convinced that life happens when they awake, and when they go to sleep, everything stops. You know, it's kind of that whole thing of when I'm awake, the day has started type of thing. So whether it is 3 a.m. or whatever time, when I'm awake, now everybody must be awake, and this is now, things are happening now type of thing. And so God wants to take us beyond that place where we realize, okay, and you know, when the child comes to revelation, okay, it's not only about me, there's other people also. Life goes on when I'm not around. And maturity of, and that I believe is one of the most important things in a little child's life, realizing, okay, well, there's a greater purpose. Especially, they obviously realize it in the family. There's, you know, there's a greater purpose for our family than beyond my life. And then beyond the family even, we are part of a bigger purpose. We're going somewhere together with the family of believers. But we see here that Christ had to learn that obedience to the Father's will. And had to, you know, you suffered some things and you had to work through some things. And in terms of that obedience, I believe that's an important thing for us in this season. And I want to just hold that before you, that whether we are 5 on a Sunday or 50 or 500, the focus to would be on us being obedient to what God is calling us, to be obedient to what the prophetic instruction is to us. And I want to encourage you, even in terms of small groups, things might change, the way we do things might change, how we do things might change, but the one thing that will not change is we want to be in step with what God is telling us to do, and we want to be obedient to the prophetic instruction. So that's exciting, and I'm going to get more detailed just in a moment. But in terms of the prophetic instruction for us at this stage, many of you have listened to Pastor Fred's message from the beginning of the year, and I want to encourage you, if you haven't got around to listening to it, please do. But that's exactly what we need to focus on at the moment, the whole instruction around the hospitality and preparing the space, etc., in different ways. So I want to re-encourage you. It's online. If it's not on the Wimbledon one, it's definitely on the Weybridge one, but I think it's on the Wimbledon site as well. So please have a look there. And then in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul writes, and he kind of points to the same thing. He says there, "When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things." And if you remember a while ago, we looked at the whole concept of us being planted in the house of God. Remember, we had the little plants and the roots and everything in the soil. And, in the same way, we read there in Ephesians where Paul writes that it's God's desire for us to grow up spiritually, to come to a place of maturity in the faith. And if you remember, we spoke about what does it mean. And one of the things we looked at was, like as I mentioned now, that thing of, okay, there's more to life than just me. Okay, there's more to life than my little part of it. But beyond that, that amazing thing of us, becoming mature in our faith. And two things that came out there was for us, for being an adult means that you don't freak out if you can't have everything you want right now. Okay, so there's kind of that maturity. And the second thing we mentioned is being able to take responsibility for something. You guys with me? I promise this is good news. It looks a bit serious. But that amazing place where, that I experienced as a boy, where now I'm starting to get responsibility in the household. And you know what's amazing with that thing is that it's not like a burden. It can be, but when you see it in the context of the family, it's an amazing blessing, because you realize, wow, I'm partnering with my family. Whether it is in the garden or silly things like helping my dad with things, there's a responsibility, but there's also a partnership, and there's a partnership in the fruit that we see from our labor, even as a family. Just that place of maturity where we as a body can take responsibility for what God has called us to do in this area. So that's where I believe, why God is allowing us to be frustrated with things. And if you've been experiencing that, I want to encourage you to wrestle with God about it and to seek His face about it. Because I believe He wants to kind of realign us with where He's at. Okay. In terms of us as a body, okay, before I get there, in John chapter 14, verse 15, we see Jesus talking to His disciples about this whole obedience thing, and He says there, "If you love Me, keep My commandments, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you." So we see this incredible promise, but at the same time we see a very clear connection there. We see Christ saying, your love for me and your relationship with me is connected to your obedience to what I'm telling you to do. And I think, you know, again, when we are young in Christ, we miss that bit. We very, especially, you know, when you're charismatic, you're kind of so in love with Jesus, and it's amazing, and you just talked about it all the time, and it's intimate, you know, it's like goosebumps type of stuff. And but often that's kind of where it ends, and we struggle to get beyond that emotional experience. I'm not saying it's bad. I mean, it's very important to emotionally experience God as well, okay? But we need to go beyond that to a place where we can say, okay, I have this intimate relationship with Jesus. I know the Father. But I know God beyond that to a place where I understand, okay, He's got a purpose and a plan and a thing that is much greater than myself. And I remember, I know this is, maybe you've experienced the same, but I remember growing up in a religious environment, very solid in the Word, etc. But I didn't really understand this whole purpose thing. And it was quite an amazing revelation, maybe for many of you as well, realizing that, wow, that I fit into God's plan. And that He's created us with a very specific purpose. And, you know, that's, for me, that was one of those mind, like really life-changing shifts in my life where I realized, okay, there was a specific purpose and God has got a specific plan. But then for a few years, it was very much God's plan for my life and God's anointing on my life and wow, all these amazing things about me and my ministry and my anointing and my purpose and my destiny. And I realized there's a lot of my in there, and a lot of I and a lot of me. And it's amazing how the Lord kind of takes you through that and then helps you to see, but actually, you play a role in it. You know, God gives us the privilege to partner with Him. But it's about His purpose. And it's about His glory. It's about His destiny and His kingdom. And that was a major shift to come from that place of realizing, well, God has a place for me and has a purpose for us in His kingdom, but it's way bigger than on me. It's way bigger than what I can do in a lifetime. And it's just obviously very healthy, humbling revelation to come to. But for us to be able to be obedient, as the scripture requires of us, as Jesus says, if you love me, obey my command. If you love me, do what I tell you to do. No, it's just as simple as that. If we're really having a relationship here, it's going to have to go beyond just that emotional experience. And if we actually want to go there, then you agree that we need to start with our understanding of what is the will of the Father, what is His purpose for us. And are you still with me? Okay, just shake the person next to you and tell them, listen, the good news is around the corner. For me, what was amazing for the last 2 weeks or so, spending time with the guys, was just to sit with God and just to refresh the place where He's taking us to. And, you know, I found myself very busy with things here, you know, kind of busy with church stuff and busy with life and this and that and a lot of the things happening and not really keeping sight of the end goal that God is taking us to. So I just want to recap that for us. You know, all of us know that, and I think we've got it very clear up here, which is a blessing. But the vision that God has given us, the command that God has given us as a family, as a body of Christ, as the local shofar body, is to go to nations and to reach generations, nations and generations. And the way we do that is through disciple making and leadership development and church planting. And I know this is not a big revelation for us, but what was amazing was when I just kind of refresh this, and I was just praying around this with, you know, talking to God about it. It was as if, it's not like a weight coming from my shoulders, but it was just amazing. I experienced just that refreshing of, okay, God, that's where we're running. That's where we're going. And everything we do now, everything, yeah, is determined, kind of how we do it, how we go about it, is determined by that, by where we're running to. Are you with me still? And that changes the way how we approach things we do now. Because if I'm thinking, you know, we do spiritual growth series, we do foundations and Bible school, and which we're going to start with Tooting congregation quite soon, hopefully. Do all these things, but you know, if we think where we're going with this, it changes the way we approach it. If I'm thinking, these courses that we have to do all the time, why do we do them? You know, what's up with all this stuff happening? Takes such a lot of time. You know, it's a bit of a schlep, to be honest. But you know, if we realize where we're going with this stuff, it kind of just changes the way we approach it. If I look at the person I'm wanting to reach out to, my neighbor or my colleague, as somebody that has to be equipped to come with us to go and plant churches or to establish the kingdom here in the UK, then it's a completely different ballgame. Are you with me still? In the same way, when I look at myself, okay, God, you know, this is why He's called us here in this place, and I'm part of this family. And I'm coming to a place of maturity. I'm realizing it's not only about my own thing. It's about the family. And it's about the call and the command that God has given to us. And if he's told us to go to the nations and to go to generations and to do it in a specific way, then there must be an action plan around this thing. So it's been really just refreshing for me. And I want to just encourage you with that... If we get back onto that page where God's at, I think a lot of us will experience a shift in terms of how we, especially in terms of those frustrations we're experiencing, but also just how we view day to day, what we're doing day to day. For instance, if I really believe that God has called us to be church planters, whether it be in New Malden, or Manchester, or India, you know, Afghanistan, or America. If I believe God has called us to plant churches, then surely I must prepare myself for that. Are you with me? It's a bit scary, but it just changes the way we look at things. Just think, okay, if I'm going to be part of a church plant one day, I have to learn some skills. I have to position myself. I have to. That's why we have all these things happening, and exactly for that reason. And in terms of knowing the Father's will, are you still with me? Okay, I'm just talking a lot. Yeah, okay. In terms of knowing God's will, in terms of understanding where He's taking us, I remember at Barton, you know, when I was still living in Stellenbosch, we would go on mission trips quite regularly. I at least worked in two a year, normally 1 3-week one in June, July, and then another 6-week one in December, January. And to be honest, all my money went into that. Even when I started working, instead of saving for honeymoons and things like that, I just put all my money into mission trips. And then what happened 6 months before we got married, I had zero in my bank balance, seriously. In any case, this is a long story, but the Lord just really came through for us there. But it was just an amazing season. And I remember often, you know, praying around mission trips, and especially when people would come to me and say, yuck, I'm not sure whether I should go on this trip. You know, India sounds like a scary place type of thing. You know, we always do joke about the heat and the bugs and stomach bugs and things like that. Not so bad, guys. The first time we went, somebody said, if you want to imagine what it's like in India in the summer, take a hair dryer, yeah, and just blow it in your face all day. And then, you know, that's what it's like. And we were like, oh, you know, we had a good chuckle about it. And when we got off the airplane there, I remember that guy said. I thought he was joking. But it was at night, actually. We landed at 2 in the morning, and it was 30-something degrees. And it felt like somebody was blowing your hair dry in my face. It didn't get better in the day. Any case, but I remember people coming to me and asking me, I don't know, I'm not sure where I should go, you know, what do you think? And I said, God, it's good to have that conviction. It's good to have a word from God. But it's actually quite easy, because there's certain things that God has already told us to do, and those we don't have to pray about. So I'm doing a lot of you a big favor tonight. I'm just cutting, you know, helping you, cutting, getting a shortcut here. Because if you're wondering about whether you should go on missions or whether you should share the gospel, that's not a problem. You don't need to pray about that. And what I used to say to the guys is, what you should pray about is that God would tell you if you shouldn't go. Are you with me? So that's the thing you pray about. Lord, if I'm going to go, that's what your word says, I'm going to go. But if I shouldn't, just tell me and I won't. If there's something else I need to do. So do you see the shift there we need to make? It's the same with this thing. If we're serious about the vision that God has given us, and I really encourage you guys, I know not everybody was involved coming to this conclusion, but it wasn't a thing we pulled out of the air on a Friday afternoon because we had to come up with something. This is something that came through years of kind of condensing what God was telling us about who we are and who He's called us to do, be the mandate that God has given us as a body, as a body of shofar. And it's not better or more important or less important than any other church's mandate, but this is the one God has given us. And this is the one He's going to hold us responsible to. So I've got good news for us, and that is that this stuff we don't have to pray about. Isn't that cool? This is given. Don't have to spend a lot of time praying and fasting about that. That's a given. It's a bit scary on the one hand, because we realize, oh my goodness, what does it mean for me practically? What does it mean to plant a church or to disciple someone? But on the other hand, it's a good wake-up call, because I realize, okay, Lord, I might not be exactly on the page you want me to be on. So I need to make some adjustments. Are you still with me? And in terms of, it's just, I must kind of make a few changes around how I approach things. And again, I mentioned this a while ago. We looked at the being planted in God's house. But once we come to this understanding of the house, of the will of God, when we were in youth, I was in a youth group in Pretoria, and our youth pastor always used to joke with us. You know, he was always encouraging us to share our faith with our friends and whatever. And he said, often people would come to him and say, no, but I was there, and I was wondering whether I should share with this friend of mine, but I just didn't feel led at that moment. So at one stage he got so fed up with us, he said, listen, what you need to do is just take a piece of lead and keep it in your pocket. And then if you're in doubt, just feel it. And then, you know, I feel led now. Okay, there, some of you got it now. So you got so, because I mean, there's certain things you don't have to pray about. There's certain things that if you hear a voice saying to you, share the love of Jesus with somebody, it's not the devil. Okay, I'm just being funny now. So there's a few givens, and that it kind of makes it easier for us, because this is something that God has given us as a body, and this is where He's taking us. And again, this makes it easier to do whatever we do, whether it is worshiping on a Sunday, whether it's a small group, whether it's the spiritual growth series, we're going somewhere with this. And where we're going is, we're going to nations. We're going to plant churches, and we're raising up leaders, and that is kind of a given. So that kind of makes it easier to understand. If we start a school, it's for the same reason. And the people that are at the school must also understand this. The reason why we have a school is, yes, maybe in a few years' time we'll plant a church in Russia. because then we've got some Russian families in school. You see what I'm getting? It's just, you know, we look around us in the place God has put us, and there's so many nations represented here. People, it's just like any church planter's dream. You know, you've got so many nations represented, and you know, we've got the nation of, you know, the United Kingdom here, and so many other nations, and it's just, the possibilities are endless. But if, you know, it's for us, I believe, in this season to come to that thing, okay, I must get into God's page, and I must make a few shifts in terms of how I approach things. And as I wanted to say in John chapter 4, Jesus talks about, he's speaking to the woman at the well, and if you remember, he was ministering to her. Before he started ministering to her, he sent his disciples away, because this is kind of a cultural no-no type of thing. And they were hungry, and he said, you know, he sent them away to go and get some food. And they went away. In the meantime, he had this amazing divine appointment with the Samaritan lady, and he ministered very powerfully into her life, and kind of she's like, oh, well, goodness, this guy knows everything about me type of thing. Because he gets a word of knowledge, and he ministers to her, and she, her life gets turned upside down, and she runs back into the city, and she kind of turns into an instant evangelist, and just, you know, tells everybody about it. But then the disciples come back, and they find Jesus, and they, you know, they've got food now, and then he's not interested, and they're like, what? What's happening now? And then Jesus says, you know, it's the way of saying very cryptic things. So he says, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Got a Kit Kat in his bag, you know, is he holding out on us type of thing. But then he says this very powerful thing. He says to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. And again, that massive shift from the things that I'm trying to do for God that is kind of feels like a burden to a place where I realize this is the will of the Father for my life. It's not something that will tire me out or wear me down. It is something that will feed me. It will nourish me. It will build me up. It will energize me. And instead of it kind of being an add-on, a nice to have, it's an essential thing to be fed spiritually. So I want to say to you out there, if you're experiencing some of these frustrations, if you're feeling underfed, undernourished spiritually, maybe this is a word for you. Our food is to do the will of him who sent us. And if it's us, if you're in this family, if you're in part of this body, then that is your food right there. Whether it starts with intercession on a Friday morning, or whether it's in small group, or wherever you're at, that's the food that God has for us. And I want to encourage you guys, intercession, it's one of those things. That's where we hear from God. That's where He directs us. That's where Holy Spirit shows us specific things. We pray specific things and kind of shows us where to go. And if you feel that you consider yourself a leader, then I want to really encourage you to try your best to be there. And that's far for some people. And it's early. But you know what's cool about that is that the flesh is dead and the spirit is alive. You're that still a bit tired and still waking up. For some of us, it's a good place to be. Actually, we're going to pray around some things that the Lord showed us the other day, the intercession. So there's a place of this nourishing. It's not tiring. It energizes us. And it's when we do the will of the Father, firstly, understand what it is. Understand, wow, this is part of it. This is what God has called us to do. And if I'm part of this family, that means I must... that this is an integral part of my life. This is not just on a Sunday. This is not something I do now and again. It's not an add-on here or there. It's a very important part of why I'm here. Are you with me? You don't look convinced. Okay, we'll get there. It's interesting how practical we are. Pray when we look about things, and so we experience this sometimes when we approach people to serve in church or to lead something. And I'm very polite. I think you've experience me as being polite sometimes. I think I must repent of being a bit too polite sometimes. I think it's a disease we have as Christians. It's terrible. We're just so polite. So I'm going to try and be less polite going forward. Okay, are you guys with me? Are you happy with that? But what I'm coming to is, you know, sometimes we approach someone and say, please pray about this. We need somebody to help in this area, or we need somebody to facilitate a small group. And we say, please pray about it. And then people go and pray and fast. And they come back and say, no, we don't feel, we're just too busy, or we don't feel led, you know, something like that. Okay, I'm not talking about anybody here today. You guys can relax. But it's just amazing, you know. I realize sometimes you must not be polite. Sometimes you must just say, guys, this is what is necessary now for the family. And I know I'm asking you politely, but actually, you don't have to go and pray about this one, type of thing. So please have grace for me if I'm less polite going forward. But if we understand this, I mean, then it's not a problem, is it? I mean, if we understand, wow, this is what God has told us to do, surely that will make it easier to make the call. The other thing that we say is that it's not practical for me. You know, if you look at my schedule, we've got calendars and we've got reminders and we've got meeting requests and things flying around. It's very good and important, and I want to improve on that stuff. But it's amazing how that stuff kind of puts our life in little boxes, and whatever is coming out of what's not fit, if it doesn't fit into those boxes, then it's a problem. And I just so love what David was saying the other day. I don't know if you were here when he was preaching, and then his phone rang. And he goes, yeah. And then he answered the phone. I didn't know. I was there in the mother's room with Abigail. I was like, what on earth is he doing answering the phone? But what he was saying is, he was saying we need to be interruptible. In terms of, we need to be ready for God to interrupt whatever we've planned, you know, with his purpose and his plan. Any case, so that's the same thing, you know, in all these plans and schedules and calendars that we have, how much of that is, how flexible are we in that? And another thing we love to say is we need to have a balanced, you know, it's good to have a balanced life. You need to have a balance between your, you know, what's that buzzword now, work-life, is that work-life balance? No, that sounds good, right? It sounds very politically correct and everything. You must be tolerant of everything and balanced. But to be honest with you, if you look at God and our commitment to Him and our serving Him and, you know, Him being our King, where does the balance come in? I'm a little bit confused there. I mean, surely, if imagine for a moment the scale, old scales, you know, the two sides. Now, say you put God on the one side, and, you know, my love for God and my commitment to His kingdom. What on earth are you going to put on the other side? What's going to balance there? Are you with me? That's not biblical. God has not called us to be balanced. Okay, I just want to throw that out there. He's called us to be unbalanced. Okay, Jesus was not balanced. Tell you that. If he was, we wouldn't be sitting here today. If Jesus was practical about what the Father was asking him to do, we wouldn't be here today. But let's jump. I want to jump to the scripture in Habakkuk, or however you want to pronounce it. This is not a good name if you want to look for names for your son. Okay. Habakkuk 2, verse 2. Write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. And I want to encourage you, if this is new to you, what I've been talking about here on my left, the vision, the core values that God has given us, the how to get there, then maybe it's a good exercise for you to write it down. I can email it to you. But this is very powerful scripture here. It says, make it visible so that he may run who reads it. And to be honest with you guys, I think part of the frustration we're experiencing here is we're not running at the moment. We feel sometimes like we're marking time. We did a lot of that when I was in the Air Force, marching on the spot or running on the spot. Have you tried that? It's fun for like 1 minute, and then it's not fun anymore. It's especially if you've got lots of kit and a rifle and everything, and you do it for an hour. It's not so nice. But sometimes it feels like that. We're like on the same spot, or we're doing laps, or we're doing circles, but we're not running. And something that Jankor also shared with us when he was here, as he feels that we need to be like cyclists riding in a slipstream. And if you've ever cycled like that in a group of people, you'll know it's really amazing to experience that. It's if you're in a slipstream of the person in front of you, there's just an incredible momentum that, oh, there we go. But the thing is, if you go slowly, okay, then there's no real slipstream. The faster you go, the bigger, the more the advantage. And the faster you go, the more focused you have to be. And you can see here, if you look at the top guys, they're getting there. The bottom guys, they got it. Can you see how close they are to each other? Now, out of experience, I can tell you that if you don't focus in that situation, you're going to get hurt. It's just a touch of the wheel like that. It's spectacular to see. Sometimes the guys put their little quick release things on the wrong way around, and then when your spoke hooks onto that thing, like the guy in front of you just goes. It's just amazing. It's not so amazing if you're behind it. You know, you can't avoid the crash. But the amazing thing is, the faster you go, the more powerful the slipstream is. But there's a few things that will need to be in place. The first one is, they're all going in the same direction. Okay, are you with me? It doesn't work if people are going different directions. Okay. And the second one is, there's no time. When we speed up, there's no time to be distracted by this on this side or this on that side, or little niggles in relationships or little things, little offenses between ourselves. There's just understanding, like, this is where we're going, this is where God is taking us, and we can run. And I just want to encourage you with this, is that we're going to step up the pace a bit. I feel this is the season to really run with God, to run with His purpose, to run with His plan. And we're going to experience this blessing of this slipstream in the spirit like we haven't before. The amazing thing about it is there's always, you know, if there's somebody in front of you that you're benefiting of, somebody that's discipling you, but there's also somebody behind you that you can disciple, somebody that you can take by the hand and walk the road with. Are you still with me? And then getting to one of the key verses, one of the key pictures that the Lord showed me this last 2 weeks was comes from John chapter 4. Now, this is just after we spoke about his food being to do the will of the Father. And Jesus said to the disciples in verse 35, he says, "Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together." And the key there for me is, I think I've experienced, the Lord was showing me, we've been busy with a lot of things. And I think we're almost like the disciples here, because he wouldn't have told them to lift up their eyes if their eyes were lifted up already. Are you with me? So their eyes were down. And I believe that's where we're at. We're in the right place. We're doing the right things, mostly. We're focusing even on some of the good things, but we're so busy with stuff here, and some of us with my plan and where I'm going. I've got lots of ideas, and I know where I'm going. But this doesn't really feature, and I feel what God is saying for us is to lift up our eyes. To lift up our eyes, to look to where He is taking us, to look to the harvest that is already there. And for myself, I know, we were so busy with stuff here that I've lost sight of that thing there. And I want to just hold that before us this evening. It's time for us to lift up our eyes. It's time for us to take off our eyes off the stuff that is distracting us, the things that are keeping us busy, the things that we're trying to balance in our lives, the things that we're trying to tick all the boxes, and to lift our eyes to what Christ is holding before us, and to see the harvest that is ready. And you can see when he does this in a little bit on, he speaks about him looking upon the multitude, and he moved with compassion. And I believe when we lift up our eyes and we fix our eyes on Christ and on where He's taking us and where He's leading us to, we're going to experience that shift in how we look at our lives, how we look at our priorities, how we look at what we're trying to balance. And it's going to set a lot of us free. Amen. If you could stand tonight with me, I'm so expectant of the season we're going into, and I want to encourage you. If we can put two and two together, we can see that the Lord is blessing us specifically with young working people type of thing. We've got a few families we're working on that, but youth is not so big on the youth at the moment. Students also not so big, but what we've just been feeling is that is the area God wants us to focus on. And the word that Pastor Fred shared at the beginning, if you haven't listened to it, please do. But he specifically talks about us hearing from God. What is the group that He's sending to us already? What is the blessing that He's put in our hand? And then we take that core group of people, that focus, and we make sure we prepare for those people. So again, whether it be small group or whether it be, we're going to look at different strategies around small group, we'll hear about that. But whatever we do, we're going to be focusing our efforts specifically for a specific group of people. Okay? And guys, I want to just encourage us tonight, this afternoon, to lift up our eyes. To lift up our eyes what we're busy with, balanced lives, and to fix our eyes on where God is taking us. And this, again, like I said, if you're part of this family, if you're visiting tonight, please bear with us, with me. But this is where God is taking us. And just in terms of when we look at the example that Jesus set for us, if, like I said just now, if Jesus had to be balanced or practical, He wouldn't have come to that point of when, in the garden of Gethsemane, He had to make a decision. He had to literally say, okay, this is the road that God has called me to walk in. And I will be obedient until the point of death. And I just want to read Philippians chapter 2, from verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God has also highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Guys, that's why God is lifting our eyes. That's why He's taking us to nations. That's why He's taking us to generations. That's why, whether it be your neighbor next door, or the guy in Manchester, or the person the place we were planting our next church, He's taking us so that every tongue will confess, every knee will bow. And I believe this is part of what God is challenging us. Part of becoming mature in Christ and coming to maturity in our faith is to come to this place where Christ came to say obedience to a point of death. And I know that sounds very bad, but that's what it means to take up a cross. To daily decide, okay, today I will be obedient to a point where I will die to my own. Everything that's of me, everything that's my plan and my desire, I will die to that so that Christ can live in me. That's what it means to take up my cross. And for us as a family, obedience to what God has called us to do, this is what it's about. Guys, I'm so expectant because I know as we step into that place of obedience, we're going to see the Spirit of God in us. And that's why I read that scripture at the beginning. We see that God tells us to be obedient, but immediately it says, and I will give you a helper. He says, I will not leave you orphans. I will not leave you alone. It's not by your own strength. It's not by anything you can manufacture. It's by the power of the Spirit of God that is in us. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. That resurrection power of Christ. And this evening, as we pray, I pray, God, just help us to lift up our eyes. To see where He's taking us. To fix our eyes, as Scripture says, to fix our faces like flint towards Him. To fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So that we can have that grace that He has given us to take up our cross, to be obedient to the point of death. And death, I know it sounds terrible, guys, but the times I've died to self to a point that I feel like I'm at the end of myself is the times that the power of Christ has been manifested in my life the most that you've ever experienced, that I've ever known. The times where you feel I'm dying now. That's when the power of Christ manifests. And that's when people's lives get changed. And that's when people get delivered and healed. And that's when the glory of God manifests in our lives. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank you, God. We humble ourselves, God. We realize this evening, Father, that at times we get so busy with stuff, Lord. And we're marking time, Lord, and we're busy with this and that, and we're busy with good things, and we're busy with what we believe you've put in our hands, God. But this evening, Father, we humbly come, Father, and we realize that a lot of these frustrations we're experiencing are of you, Father, and are meant to bring us back to you, Father, meant to bring us back to the page that you're on. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus tonight, Lord, we thank you for sensitivity to your Spirit, God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you lay on every heart this evening. Those things that are keeping us from that point of obedience, Father. Those things that we're trying to balance, Father. Those things that we try, it's often the blessings, Lord, that you bless us with, Lord. Whether it be children, or whether it be career, or whether it be a relationship, Lord. Often the stuff that you bless us with, that eventually takes a place in our priority that is higher than you, Father, that is more important than you, Father. And we want to just humbly come to you, Lord, tonight. And we repent, Lord, of trying to be balanced, Father. We repent, Lord, of trying to put something that balances with you, Father, and your call in our lives, Father. We repent, Lord, of trying to be practical, Lord, and how we schedule our times, God. And how often we just end up in idolatry. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you tonight, Lord, that you are, I just sense, Lord, your word says, the whole of creation is groaning in expectation, Father, is waiting in anticipation for the manifestation of the sons of God, the sons and daughters of God. I thank you, Lord, that Wimbledon is groaning in expectation, Father, is waiting for us to be manifested in as the sons and daughters of God. Oh, Father, I thank you, Lord, as we lift up our eyes this evening, Lord. I thank you that you come and burn in our hearts again, Lord, the vision that you've given us, the mandate that you've given us, Lord, the inheritance that you've given us as a family, Father. And I thank you, Lord, for each of us here tonight, Lord, that as we take a hold of that, Father, that you give us, that by the power of Christ in us, Lord, that we can run with this vision, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you, Lord, that this is not something we can manufacture, Lord, but I thank you, Lord, that you, as we get into the slipstream, Father, that you bless us with the momentum and the Spirit, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that we've seen signs, Lord, of fruit already, people getting healed, people getting saved, people getting delivered, Father. We thank you, Lord. But as we humble ourselves, I pray tonight that you'd make a shift in our hearts, God, in Jesus' name. just thought, as we just stay in the attitude of prayer, just where you're standing, if the Lord, if the Holy Spirit is just showing you specific things that you need to lay down tonight, I want to encourage you just to bring them before the Lord. Even this week, we've been praying with some of the leaders, and I've been saying to the guys, it's time to reevaluate. It's time to look at the stuff that is keeping us busy. It's time to look at what is taking up our time, what is taking up our schedules. And if it's not in obedience to Christ, then why are we doing it? If it's not in obedience to His call on our lives, why are we busy with this stuff? And it's time to reevaluate. And I just want to pray that tonight, Lord, that You give us the boldness, Lord, to reevaluate what is it that keeps us so busy, Father. What are we running after? What are we so busy with, God, in the name of Jesus? And if the Holy Spirit has shown you something, just bring it before God now. And just speak to Him just where you're at, and bring that before Him now, in the name of Jesus. Yes, God, we thank You, Father, that You are faithful to finish the work in us, God. I pray, even as we go from this place, God, I thank You that you burn that fire in us, Lord, urgency, Lord, to walk in that obedience to Your call, Father. The joy, Lord, as we partner with You, the joy, Lord, of the food of doing the will of the Father, Lord, that it will nourish us, Lord, that it will energize us, Lord, that we will walk joyfully knowing, Lord, as Your word says, that he who sows and He who reaps rejoice together, God. I thank You, Lord, that we can put our eyes on that is what is eternal, Father, as Your word says, that we gather wages and fruit for eternal life, God. Not for here, not for now, but for eternity, Father. That's our home, is eternity, Lord. Our destiny is in eternity, God. Oh, Lord, help us this evening to lift up our eyes from what is temporal to what is eternal, God, in the name of Jesus. And I thank You for the boldness, Lord, to make a shift, Lord, to turn our hearts, Lord.